A final game of budgetary football, and the Republicans are ready to punt.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon. The 109th Congress reconvenes today to begin its final session. One of the must-dos on the list, figuring out how to fund most of the government. Congress has completed just two of 11 spending bills for the fiscal year that started October 1st. All government functions except defense and homeland security are now operating on a temporary budget, but that expires this week. And as Marketplace's Hillary Wickay reports, the Republican leadership is expected to boot the tough choices on the permanent budget to the Democrats.
Congress can't just leave the government unfunded, so at the very least, it'll have to pass another stopgap spending measure known as a continuing resolution. Some say punting the bulk of the 07 budget to the Democrats could keep the new leadership from working on its priorities, like minimum wage. But budget analyst Stan Collender says it also sets up the possibility of an early standoff between President Bush and the new Congress. He says it could go like this. Republicans pass a bill this week that keeps the government funded until mid-February, and then
Democrats deciding that they don't want to send the president individual bills that he can veto. So the Democrats then package all those bills into a single piece of legislation, send it to the president at midnight on February 15th, and basically dare him to veto it.
The president is firm about not going over the $873 billion discretionary budget cap, which both the Republican-controlled Senate and House were on track to do. In Washington, I'm Hillary Wickay for Marketplace.
More fallout in the housing market this morning. The country's biggest builder of luxury homes, Toll Brothers, reports lower fourth-quarter earnings. It blames continuing softness in some of the once hottest housing markets. We're getting more ominous forecasts about the economic year to come. A new report suggests we'll see an increase in the number of companies going under in 2007. Marketplace's Jeff Tyler reports.
The number of corporate bankruptcies is expected to rise 17% next year. That's the prediction from Global Insight, an economic forecasting company. Mining firms, energy companies, and the real estate industry are most vulnerable. Fuel prices and higher interest rates are partly to blame. And spokesman Mark Killian says the projected bump in bankruptcies is
largely attributable to a slowdown in the economy, slowdown in economic growth. Bankruptcies have been relatively low, but that seems to be bottoming out now.
Going forward, a select few industries are forecast to improve next year. Killian expects fewer auto companies will go bust, and higher commodity prices should help farmers avoid the bankruptcy bug. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
Wall Street is coming off a bounce thanks to some big merger news yesterday. The Dow starts the day at 12,283 after a gain of 0.75%. The NASDAQ was up 1.4% to 2448, and the S&P 500 rose 0.9% to 1409. Never mind how many shopping days are left until Christmas. Holiday shoppers determined to get deep discounts are waiting it out. America's research group says more than 81% of shoppers plan to stay away from the malls until December 15th or later. They think waiting will pay off in a big way, with items discounted as much as 50%. This is Marketplace. Time for a look at this week's history of business, and so we open the Marketplace Vault. Today we focus on the American labor movement.
The American Federation of Labor was founded in 1886. It was actually quite conservative for its time. Many labor groups were challenging the very concept of capitalism, but the AFL favored working within the system. The approach worked and membership flourished. But in 1935, several unions split away and formed the Congress of Industrial Organizations. The CIO favored craftsmen over the new breed of industrial worker. But as the years passed, that distinction became less relevant, and the CIO craved the political clout of the much larger AFL. So this week, back in 1955, the AFL and CIO merged. Unity reigned until last summer, when nearly half of the AFL-CIO's members broke away to form the Change to Win Federation. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced and distributed by American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Medtronic Foundation, supporting the Children's Heart Foundation's It's My Heart for families affected by congenital heart defects. Copies available at childrensheartfoundation.org. And by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com.
This is Marketplace. I'm Bob Moon. Ask, where does food come from? and you'll likely hear the grocery store. For most of us, an arm's-length relationship with the production and preparation of food is simply a fact of modern life. But a pair of organic farmers in eastern Washington are working to change that. 5 times a year, they invite chefs and culinary students to spend a week living what they call farm-to-table. Reporter Elizabeth Wynn Johnson went for a taste.
Sun up to sun down. Life at Quillisasket Farm near Colville, Washington is all about food. People come from across the country to spend a week doing double duty as both cooks and farmhands. Call it Organic Farming 101.
We think it's more than just a trend. Organics has been around for like 30 years, but just in the last maybe 5 or 10 years, it's really become mainstream.
Rick and Laura Lee Misterly created the program in 2002. As owners of an organic goat farm, Rick says they were constantly getting questions from restaurant clients. That inspired the couple to create a hands-on laboratory for teaching food professionals how to work organic options into their menus. In many cases, businesses pay for their employees to attend.
Organics is coming in, people are demanding that type of thing, and they think it's good for their people to know something about that.
Tuition is about $700 per person, which covers room and board, plus all instruction. Profits are slim, but the Misterlys say their main goal is to change the relationship between man and feast, one chef at a time. Today is meat day. A dozen students gather in the Sunny Farm kitchen. Rick enters, carrying one half of a freshly butchered lamb. He places it before chef instructor Karin Jurgensen.
Even some of the professionals that have been in the industry for a while, this is the first time they've ever, breaking down a whole animal. And so it's a good experience for them.
So first off, this is the kidney. And you'll see that it's surrounded by fat.
Seattle-based culinary student Lee Fullwood looks on, her eyes growing wide. She grew up on an Angus farm, but she never saw this.
Our food is really anonymous. It's so easy to waste it. It's so easy to take it for granted. And the way food is produced and consumed in this country is simply not going to get us there over the long term.
Today, not a single scrap will go to waste. By nightfall, the students will have cooked up roasts, racks, sausage, and pâté, the bones boiled into a rich stock. Now all that's left is to set the table for dinner. The Misterlys don't expect to breed changes in the culinary industry overnight, but they do see evidence of a shift. Attendance at their program has doubled every year, and recently included 2 people from the nationwide food distributor, Food Services of America. I'm Elizabeth Wynn Johnson for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon, in for Scott Jagow. We appreciate you being with us this morning.
American Public Media.
You go out, you shop.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.